You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9am to 12 midday.
Now, I want to start this morning by taking a look back at a story we heard yesterday and comments made by the Garda Commissioner, Drew Harris, when asked at an Oireachtas committee meeting if he could rule out an amalgamation between the Garda divisions of Clare and Galway. Instead of giving such assurance, Commissioner Drew Harris stated that changes may occur as part of a wider overhaul of Garda structures.
What our intention is that the divisional model, headed by a chief superintendent, will become the principal unit of providing policing in Ireland, that a divisional commander should have sufficient resources that by and large they are able to deal with the majority of what happens in their division, but also then to make sure that we have sufficient numbers, including supervision, SARS and inspectors, to make sure that the local service is properly delivered, properly supervised and properly supported.
Garda Commissioner Drew Harris there hinting at changes to the Garda Division structures which could see policing in Clare directed from Galway. Of course, that is a change which has prompted a lot of criticism from some local politicians. But could it actually be good for policing here in the county? The changes come on foot of a report last year, the Commission of the Future Policing in Ireland. A member of that commission is Dr. Johnny Connolly. He's part of the Centre of Crime, Justice and Victim Studies at the School of Law of University of Limerick as well. Johnny, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And thank you very much for joining us. What exactly did you recommend in terms of Garda divisions in the report published last year?
Well, what we said basically, in a nutshell, is that Garda divisions should be effectively mini police organisations in themselves. So what we were talking about was a consolidation of resources at divisional level. So things like human resources, financial specialist units, crisis intervention teams, etc. Now, we weren't prescriptive about the numbers of divisions at present. There are 28 divisions, and we regard that as too many. But what's problematic is that there is no clear data on the demands that is coming upon guards. There's no clear workforce plan, and so that is something that the commissioner needs to work out himself.
Sure.
And I think that's what he's touching on yesterday. But
why is 28 too many? I mean, by and large, and it's not quite county boundaries, some the cities would have more than one division. Cork has got a number of them as well. But the idea behind it, presumably, is that you have somebody over an area and that they would have the knowledge of that area. But why? Where do you see the problems in that structure?
Well, the problem is, and I think in a sense what sort of a part of the debate is that people feel that the policing resource that they are accessing to is going to somehow disappear. What we're talking about is a district policing model. So divisions are supporting districts. At present there are 96 districts working out of about 570 police stations. And what we're talking about is enhancing and supporting the district. So what the division does, you might have specialist units, but you're not multiplying those specialist units. But they are supporting the district level. So people have access to Garda members at a frontline level. And that's what the public wants. They want accessibility to Garda members. They want familiarity. They want consistency of service at a local level. Mm-hmm. So everything we have recommended basically revolves around the district policing level. And the division, you know, the reason that we think there needs to be a consolidation of divisions, and as I said, we haven't been prescriptive as to how many there should be, is that it's so that you're not duplicating resources, but you're consolidating resources. And so really the whole idea behind our vision is about people, about frontline policing, so people okay. have more access at a local level.
And you say that's why this needs to happen, but you can understand, I am sure, why there would be concern in an area such as Clare when faced with the prospect of policing in the county being directed from outside of the county.
Well, again, I wouldn't see it happening like that. I think what you're going to see is if our recommendations are implemented, and I think you're going to see more access to visible policing at a frontline level. Whether you know if it's Galway or in that particular context, what you're going to see is specialist units perhaps based in Galway or crisis intervention teams. But what you're going to see is a consistent policing service delivered at a local, at a very local level. And what's happening now is that a lot of Garda members, their time is taken up on things that they shouldn't be involved with. And we have recommended, there's a whole number of areas that we have said that guards should not be involved in, and other agencies need to take on responsibility for different particular functions that the guards are performing, so that we free up guards so they are accessible and available to the public at the front line. That's what we consistently heard from people, from members of the public. That's what they wanted. It's what the guards themselves say. They see themselves as a community policing service, but the organisation isn't structured to provide such a service. And so everything we have recommended basically is about supporting that frontline, visible, accessible policing service to people.
There may be fears, though, that if you look to centralise some of the supports or to rationalise some of the supports or use whatever term that you wish, that that could be the beginning of cutbacks, that it could be the opening the door to cutting down expense in that area without the guarantee that further investment will flow into frontline policing in the way that most people would like to see.
Well, what you're seeing at the moment is a huge recruitment drive in Garda Síochána over the next couple of years, and what our recommendations are about is making Garda members out there visible and publicly accessible, and you know everything.
But is a lot of that recruitment not recruitment to stand still because of the number of retirements and to catch up and the fallback in policing numbers that we have seen over the last number of years?
Well, no, there's a degree of that. Yeah, there's a degree of that. But, I mean, still we're talking about the organisation increasing by about 4,000 over the next number of years, and also increased civilianisation to make, you know, like the term sworn and unsworn, to make Garda members visible and accessible to the public. So that is not what's envisaged at all. And, I mean, I live in a rural village. I completely understand, you know, the fears that people have. You know, you see post offices closing, and you know, increasingly, people, you know, the state appears to be stepping back and is increasingly inaccessible to people. But in terms of what we have envisaged in this report, is that Garda members are more accessible to people. You know, people talk about stations being open. There's numerous ways in which guards can become accessible to people. You know, you can have guards in community centres. There's numerous ways that we have identified in the report. But clearly, what people want is accessible and visible Garda presence. And everything we have recommended is about making that happen.
And you've no concerns over the size of these divisions being overseen and administered from a central location? I mean, I haven't looked it up, but I'd suggest you could go from somewhere in the west of Connemara, Clifton, Cleggan direction down to Loophead in Clare and not cover that distance in 3 hours, and all of that would be administered from one site in Galway City.
Well, no, because you still have districts and you still have stations. And
but you still have a top cop, for the want of a better term. Under the current model, you still have a chief superintendent who, in the eyes of the public at least, and I'm sure in certain circumstances internally, is making the important decisions, who has that final call.
Well, yeah, you've also an increased number of superintendents, inspectors and sergeants, which is happening at the moment. And, you know, essentially, they should be the people who are working at the district level and managing issues. It is only when you need specialist units that the divisional model comes into play, or where you've got human resources or finance or administrative. It's been referred to by the Garda Inspector as a sort of a functional model. And at the moment, this model has been piloted in 5 different areas throughout the country. And, you know, we'll see the outcome of that pilot. But again, I completely appreciate people's fears. But the ultimate objective of this whole exercise is about making Garda Síochána more accessible and visible to the public. But a part of the problem that we had, and this is why we weren't prescriptive in terms of the numbers of divisions, is that there is no workforce plan at present in terms of how resources are used. There is no clear sense of the service that has been provided. There is absolutely no sense of what the demand from the public is, because the data simply isn't there. So this is something that the Garda Commissioner has to go through and has to work through and has to be responsible for.
Should we change our line of thinking on this? Is this much more about human resources than it is fighting crime, in a way, in terms of how it is administered and how it is run?
Well, 80% of Garda time is spent on non-crime matters, you know, so in terms of dealing with issues around, you know, it could be mental health, dealing with vulnerable people, vulnerable families, individuals, and that's what, you know, that's what the Garda do most of the time. And it's also the same in the UK, it's the same in the United States, and they are often the only service that is there 24 hours a day and that is accessible to people. So, you know, and they, that's what they want to be, you know, and they are providing a really important service in that sense. But there are other agencies that also have a role to play in community safety. And a very strong, you know, emphasis of our report is that policing is not just about the police. There are multiple agencies that have responsibility in the whole area of policing and community safety. And so, you know, so what we have done is to try and, you know, present that new idea of policing. And so what the guards are doing is out there supporting and being visible and providing, okay, you know, safety to people. And, you know, so, I mean, I think, you know, people have to, we have to see how this works through and how the commissioner works it through and how it works. And when we see a workforce plan, we can start talking about numbers, locations, buildings, etc. But, you know, I really believe that if the vision that we have set out, if it comes to play, people will see a much more accessible police service.
I'll finish you with this, Johnny. Are you still confident this is the best route for the Gardaí now that you've seen one of the earliest examples of potential local concern that could emerge in locations all over the country when these changes become more apparent, and also given last September how the policing authority questioned some of these changes, saying that it may not even maintain current levels of oversight and transparency at the top of the Garda, let alone enhance them? Are you sure, because you put a lot of research in as a group and a lot of work into it, I know, but are you sure this is the best course for An Garda Síochána?
I'm absolutely convinced that this, I think this is a really, it's a really dramatic change. We talk about community policing, and the guards have always talked about themselves as community policing service, but in practice they're not, and they're not structurally set up to be. It is what the public want, it is what the guards themselves want, and I think the proposal that we have put in place can actually make that happen in practice and in reality, and it'll be, you know, it will be a remarkable transformation if it actually comes okay to pass.
Let us know your thoughts at home, Dr. Johnny Connolly of UL and of the Commission of the Future Policing in Ireland. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
The very best. Dr. Johnny Connolly there.
You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 midday.